Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, oh, hey,
out there, America and beyond. We welcome the listeners to Human Design on the Air. I'm your host, Peter Rowe from loveyourhumandesign.com. And today we're going to be talking about the root center. I guess you could say it's the root of all evil, but it's also the root of all doing. And I'm making a joke there about the root of all evil. The root center is a tricky one. It is it's a pressure center, and it's very physical. Just like it within the Hindu chakra system, the root is really, in a way, is our connection to the physical plane. But before we dive into the root, let me introduce our co-host, the Reverend Rick of revrick.webs.com. Reverend Rick, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Peter. I'm doing good. Looking forward to this one. This is an interesting and very interesting topic. And I think a lot of people are going to relate to it.
And I have to say, I have this memory of the root center and when I was just getting into human design, Reverend Rick and I were taking human design specialist training with Karen Curry of thejoyfulmission.com. And, I was browsing the internet and looking at things, and I can't recall the guy's name, but there's this Hawaiian human design practitioner. And he had done a video on the root, and he starts it off and says, this is just like a, you know, if you have the open root, this is a monkey on your back. And it's kind of an entertaining video. I imagine it's still out there, but it really speaks to that it, you know, there's a negotiation about the open root, and it is so physical. It is so physically connected because it is really the center that releases adrenaline in our body. We get under pressure. It's called the pressure center. It's one of two centers. We have the head and the root, and the root pressure releases adrenaline in our body. It gets us fired up physically so we can do things, so we can get those things crossed off our list and get things going. But if you can't channel that adrenaline, then it can cause some problems for you. Rick, your thoughts on that?
I would absolutely agree with that. And even add to it that it really is a double-edged sword, you know, and I'm sorry, my mind goes in really strange directions. So when you made that comment about the monkey on your back, I thought, you know, most times people think of the monkey on the back as being a hindrance. But you know what? There are some good things involved in it, too. What if there's bugs in your hair, you know? I mean, the monkey can get them out. So, you know, taking that analogy a little further, you know, it's just the double-edged sword is the pressure from the root center can be very destructive, or it can be an amazingly constructive and productive type of energy, and it really just depends on how each individual person chooses to deal with that. And I think that's partly some of the stuff we're going to be talking about in today's show, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Absolutely is. But before we go any deeper, let's take a step back. We're talking about human design here. We're talking about the root center, which, if you have your chart, is the bottom square. It's right there at the bottom. And if it's colored in, if it's brown, then you have a defined root. And if it's white, and it may have some coloring around the sides. Those are the gates. But if the square itself is white, then you have an open root. And if you have an open root, essentially you're going to have an inconsistent experience with this root energy that we're going to be talking about throughout the show. If you have a defined root, you're going to have more of a consistent experience with it. But I'm going to put a caveat on that the root is not always active. And we'll talk about that later, because I don't want to get into that right now. But you're going to have more of a consistent experience of that energy and how to move that energy throughout your body and into expression. So we're talking about the root center. Again, if you have your chart, it's the bottom center is on the chart. If you don't have your chart, you can go out to my website, loveyourhumandesign.com, and on the right-hand side, you can click on Order Your Free Chart. Or you can go to revrick.webs.com. And Rick, where's your link for that?
When they get to my website, just click on the Human Design link in the middle of the page, and they'll go right to my Human Design page. And plastered all over that page, there are links to get your free chart, as well as a free 30-minute overview reading.
Perfect. Great way to get started if you're new to Human Design. And the other thing I wanted to draw your attention to before we go deep into the root is that I wrote a short article, and there's also there's a diagram of the root, and then there's a chart that we're going to talk about later in the show. But that article is on loveyourhumandesign.com, and on the right-hand side, about a third of the way down, click on Peter's blog, and then when that page comes up, choose the open root article and click on that, and you'll see the full post there. But the root center is really, in some senses, it's where things get started. It's where things get going. It's where the process, it's kind of where the pavement hits the road, because in the Human Design system, the energy flows down from the top. You know, you have an idea, for example, or you have a story, you have a thought, and that energy flows down through the chart, down to the root. And then the root is kind of where we do something about it. Would you say that's accurate, Rick?
Absolutely. The way the energy works in Human Design is it's always trying to get to the throat, and the only way to get to the throat is either through the top or through the bottom. So that means we're going through one of two pressure centers, either the head or the root, and everything that comes up from the root is going to have that. The root being a motor, of course, everything coming up from it is going to have that motorized energy to push its way through to the throat and try to get to that expression.
And so, very simply, I can think of two ways that happens. One, I have a thought. I analyze that thought. Okay, this is, you know, I have an idea. I'm going to build something. And so I have that thought. I come up with ideas for that thought. I analyze how am I going to do it, what supplies am I going to need. And in that process, the energy is working down the chart from the, I had a thought in my head, so it's up in the head center, up to that top triangle. And it's working its way down, and so now I have a design, I have a list of things to do, and lists are synonymous with the root center. So now it hits the root, and now, like, the pavement hits the road. Okay, I've got something to do. So that's kind of one way things happen. The other way is that Ricardo comes up with all those ideas, and he says, hey, Peter, you're a generator. Do this. And he gives me the list. And, you know, and so now I'm, you know, for me, my experience is, okay, now I'm starting right at the root center. Ricardo's given me a list. You know, here's 14 things I want you to do for me the next week. And, you know, so I got to take it from there and build those things into expression. I've got to build those up to the throat. And again, whether that expression is that he wants me to create a speech or a blog post, or he wants me to actually create something physical, because that physical thing say it's a treehouse, that treehouse is going to have all kinds of expression in it. Is it going to have railings? Is it going to have a pulley to get things up there? What kind of ladder is it going to be? A rope ladder? Is it going to be? All those attributes are expression. And so, anyway, go ahead, Rick.
No, you go ahead and finish your thought.
Well, I was just going to say, so anyway, when we get to that point, whether it's through our own thought process and analysis or whether it's Reverend Rick handing me a list, now I have a list. And whether that's on paper or whether that's just in my mind, I have these things to do. And what that does to the body is it causes a physical reaction. I've got these things to do. There's a pressure. You know, because whether it's explicit, and Ricardo said, I need these by next Friday, or it's implicit, I'm thinking Ricardo's going to expect these by next Friday. There's now a deadline. And if there's a deadline, there's pressure. Well, if I'm going to meet that deadline, I've got to get going. And so that process causes a physical reaction in my body that dumps adrenaline in the body to give me energy to get going on the list of things to do. And really, really, when we get down to talking about the root center and how we deal with that pressure and how we deal with that adrenaline that was just released in our body, you know, that this is really the core aspect of the discussion. How do we channel that energy? And as I said at the top of the show, if you have a defined root, you're going to have a more defined or consistent pattern of how to deal with that energy. And if you have an undefined root, you're going to have more of an inconsistent pattern with that. And as I said in my blog post, the potential is there for you to spin your wheels with an open root. The potential is there for you to go off in one direction, or the potential is there for you to be superhuman and get the thing done in 3 days, not five.
Yep.
And how you handle that, I think, for the most part, is through the mind, through the strategy of, well, not just the mind, but is, I guess, using the mind as a tool to check on how you're dealing with that physical process. Rick, your thoughts on that strategy?
I agree totally. It's all about having a conscious awareness of the energy flowing up through that root center that's going to help us better deal with it. And, of course, it also is all about going back to what is truly in our design, which means, you know, our specific strategies and authorities. Because that's really, following our strategies and authorities is really key always. But that's what's going to lead to us being able to have conscious awareness without falling victim to the pressures of the root, of the open root center, and, you know, feeling pressured to make decisions that are not in alignment with our strategies and authorities. And Peter, if I may, I'd like to throw an idea out there, a new way of thinking about something.
Absolutely.
Before we get too involved in the discussion, to kind of have it in the back of the mind kind of thing. And that is, you've mentioned that the root is tied to our adrenaline system, and it, you know, it's a motorized energy, it's an adrenalized energy. It's a pressure center, and all that adrenaline building up helps to build up the pressure that gets translated into stress in our bodies. But what I really want to do is I want to get people thinking about stress in a new way. And that is, as a motor in the human design system, every motor in human design offers a type of fuel potential. And the fuel potential from the root center we recognize as stress. And the new way of thinking of stress is exactly as that, as a fuel. It's a fuel for dealing with the pressures of living. It's a fuel for mastering the difficult situations. It's a fuel for moving things in our lives toward manifestation. And in that sense, you know, I think stress carries with it a somewhat negative connotation. You know, when people think of stress, the first thing they think of is all the detriment that is associated with it. But stress can be a really wonderful tool for those who learn how to use it. And learning how to use it means being in touch with your open root, knowing about your open root energy. And so we begin, or what I'm asking people to do anyway, is to begin with the mental openness of looking at stress as a fuel for getting things accomplished, not just for being under pressure. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. And, you know, and this is early in the show I was talking about, it's the way we channel it. You know, it's the way we channel that stress, or we channel the adrenaline that stress releases. And if we channel it properly, in alignment, as Reverend Rick was saying, with our strategy, with our design, then that stress doesn't lead to potential headaches and, you know, and all those other symptoms, backache and things that can occur with stress that's not channeled properly. You know, one of the common things that happens to someone with an open root is that they become slave to the list. They have a list of things to do, or they have, it's not uncommon for people with an open root to have multiple lists. And if you don't use your awareness to keep tabs on yourself, if you just sort of get into the mode of I'm doing, then you don't take a break and get up from your desk and stretch. You don't go out to lunch. You don't go home when it's time to go home and spend time with your friends and your family and your kids and get outdoors or do something different because you're sort of trapped by that list. And your open root can become vulnerable to that and say, but I've got to get done. And there's a mantra in human design about the open root. And I'll let Reverend Rick share that with you.
A mantra or a question to ask yourself?
Well, just about freedom.
Just about what?
Freedom.
Oh, freedom.
If I could.
Yeah. I like to call these awareness questions. You know,
yep.
There's two of them really. One is, am I always in a hurry to get things done, to be free of the pressure, or am I letting the pressure of the outside world run my life? Another way of putting all that together is, am I under pressure to be free? You know, the monkey on the back kind of thing is in this case, something holding you down. And for many people, the pressure of the root of the open root system, or I'm sorry, the pressure of the open root center, could feel like some kind of weight that you're bearing, some kind of weight that you're carrying. And hopefully by the end of the show, Peter, we'll be able to show people that the pressure of the open root can actually be a wonderful source of wisdom not just a place of pressure and stress.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because you can, you know, if you learn to channel that, you know, if you're aware of it, it's like, boy, I'm really feeling under the gun. I think a lot of times we're in the midst of doing things, and we get so focused on, I've got to get this done, that we don't even take a moment to say, well, you know, what is the pressure that I'm feeling here? Like, what is the actual deadline? You know, and is that a real deadline, or is that just a self-imposed deadline? Or do I have such tunnel vision that I'm so locked into what I'm doing. You know, sometimes, and I do it too, I have a defined route. So this is not just an open route thing. It has to do with how we channel the root energy. And I'll tell you, I get free chart requests probably in the neighborhood of 40 to 60 a week. And I'll have 30 or 40 that I'm going through, and I'll get in a rhythm where I'm getting a lot done, but I sometimes forget to breathe and, or stretch my arm, or, you know, suddenly I've got a pain in my arm, or, you know, pain in my back. And in a sense, that's being slave to the root center. It's being so focused, which again, it can be very positive. I can get a lot of work done, but I would probably be better off physically, emotionally, if my awareness stepped in and said, Pete, take a break. Pete, get up and stretch. You know, even if it's only for 30 seconds. Because what that does is it's going to create a better physical condition, that getting up and stretching, looking out the window, whatever, is going to lead to better physical condition that I can actually get more done. Because if you get in that mode where you're really just doing, there's a great potential that your productivity is falling because your arm's cramping or your eyes are hurt, eyes are tired or anything along those lines. And having that awareness of when to take those breaks, how to mix things up, is really a skill that we all need to learn.
Yep. And as you said, Peter, it's all about how we channel that energy. So whether it's defined or undefined, really the expression of that stress in our lives is, and this is just bringing it back to the body graph here, the expression in our lives of this stress and pressure is going to follow one of the 9 different expressions available to the root center, which are the different gates that are attached to it. Whether that expression can go all the way to another center or just, you know, halfway through and just be in that particular gate. That's how we deal with the stress and the pressure and all that. It really is dependent on what we've got connected to the, I guess a better way of saying it is what we have activated on the root and what we have pointing to the root. Because some people may feel all kinds of different stresses and pressures with an open root and not have any gates activated on it. But there's still pressure on that energy, or that energy is still feeling pressure from other gates pointing towards it. And of course that would, you know, getting into something like that means we'd have to get into somebody's individual chart to really talk more fully about that. But essentially, you know, how we deal with the stress in our life is exactly what you said earlier. It's how we channel that energy, and we channel that energy through the connections either on or pointing towards that root center.
Exactly. So,
Peter, where do you want to take our listeners to today? Where do you want to? What kind of I'm feeling imagery coming to mind here. What kind of imagery do you want to cover? Do you want to cover next? I mean,
what do you want to? You want a metaphor gone wild?
Not necessarily gone wild, but there's just so many different places we can go with this. I'm going to look to you for a little bit of direction. Boy, that's a switch, isn't it? I'm the one that's supposed to be providing the direction, aren't I?
Yeah. I'm feeling like this is the antimatter universe or something like that.
All right. Well, maybe we should play our regular roles then, huh?
Well, one thought that I had was if you've listened to our show before, or you've talked to somebody about human design, then you've heard about conditioning. And one thing that can happen is that your open root center or your defiant root and its open gates can be conditioned. That openness can be conditioned into a pattern. And so a simple example is if you have a 9-to-5 job but you are feeling under pressure by the amount of work that you get there, and every day you end up working till 7, that's a type of conditioning. If you end up taking a long lunch or doing something, you know, in the middle of the day, or you procrastinate, and so you end up, because of the distractions at work, you end up getting most of your work done between 5 and 7 after a lot of people have left, you know, that's another potential area for conditioning. And so one of the things that we can do if we start to live our design is clear out that conditioning, is return to the way that we originally designed to function at birth. And to help you with that, I have a meditation for the Open Root Center that was done by my lovely wife, the Reverend Nina Rowe. And I thought that we would listen to that now to clean out a little conditioning and then maybe take it in terms of how can we constructively deal and channel and have that awareness that we've been talking about. How's that sound, Reverend Rick?
It sounds wonderful. The only thing I can add to that is I need to look at a composite chart between the two of us, because going into conditioning was exactly where I was going to go. So we work so well together.
Perfectly done. Perfectly done. So I'm not going to play the intro. Some of the other shows I played the intro to the meditation. So I want you to, as long as you're not driving, or doing something where you need to have your eyes open, close your eyes and take a deep breath in and let it out. And if you're thinking about what do I have to do today, this morning, let those lists go. This is your time right now. This is your time to tune in to your physical body. Again, the root is very physical. Take another deep breath in and let it out. Sit back and listen to the meditation and let those excess stresses of your root center be free. Let those conditioned patterns that you may have taken on over your life go, and absorb the message that this meditation brings.
Bring your focus to your root center. This is your center for adrenaline energy. It is another source of power, and when it's on, you feel the motivation to get things done. When it's off, you need to rest. Set your intention right now to heal whatever challenges are present and ready to be resolved for your root center. Set your intention to clear out whatever belief systems you may have developed around your own energy level and your motivation to get things done. Release any feelings you harbor about your need to complete your work. You are perfect, just as the angels made you. Release those negative beliefs and judgments and breathe as the angels replace them with forgiveness and love. Now spend a moment seeing your root center as a vibrant source of adrenaline energy. Allow your angels of healing and wellness to tune your root center to your highest vibration of love and light.
And as you come back, take a deep breath in and let it out. And as you are ready, open your eyes and begin to move about and give yourself permission to stretch. So, Reverend Rick, you had thoughts on conditioning. What are those?
Well, and this is more so, of course, for the open root. and getting back to that whole feeling the pressure to be free, trying to work through those lists, trying to get out from under the thumb of things needing to be done. And I just want to put this out there for people like me who have an open root. Number one, it's so important to be aware that when you have an open root, you will take in and amplify the adrenalized energy of the defined roots around you. Number two, try as you might, you're not going to get rid of that energy when you're around those people. The open root is designed to take in that energy. So we open root people tend to react in such a way that we try to relieve the pressure by getting rid of that energy, when in reality there's always going to be something else taking the place of what we just got rid of. Now, I don't want to paint a bleak picture. That's not what it's all about. What it's really all about is the potential for developing the wisdom, and we'll get more into that a little bit later. But essentially, an open root means you are designed to have that pressure, to have that energy, to have that fuel, to have that stress, but you're designed to use it wisely. And the conscious awareness that Peter started off talking about earlier on in the show, that conscious awareness is what helps us get to that level of wisdom. So I just want to make sure people understand, you know, having that pressure is not a bad thing, but learning to deal with it may take a little bit of time. I think a mantra, Peter, would be, I love my open root.
I love my open root. And, you know, and so this is an interesting contrast because Reverend Rick has an open root and I have a defined root. And, you know, I've heard from people that, in a way, when you're in a group setting, when you're with other people, whether it's a workplace or a social thing, that root energy can be like a drug. And you can, if you have an open root, you can feel like, you know, I got this energy to do stuff. I've got to, you know, I've got to capitalize on it. And that's perfect with balance. Capitalize on it, but don't get carried away. And imagery that's coming to mind is that somebody goes to a party and they're in all that root energy, and so they have all this energy to do, so they end up basically helping the host the party, you know, bring hors d'oeuvres out, get people drinks, get ice for the drinks, on and on. And they end up not enjoying the social aspect because they've become trapped or addicted to that energy to do things and lost that balance. You know, and so what I'm saying here is strategy, and as Rick was saying, having the awareness that sure, help the host out. You've got the energy. That's part of your gift that you can give back. But don't necessarily lose sight of why you're there. If you're there not specifically to help the host, help the host some, but use some of that energy to get around and visit and socialize with people as well.
And Peter, you bring up another image for me, probably the best story I ever heard in terms of really solidifying the ways to react to an open root is that of a stage actor. There are people who absolutely love the rush of the crowd's applause and laughter and jeers and, you know, whatever it happens to be. You know, people love being up on stage and feeling all of that energy, all that, you know, the rush of that energy from the audience. And so they really, you know, they pour themselves into the role. But on the other side, there's the people who the curtain goes up and they stand there on stage frozen because it's too much. They can't move. They can't react. They can't do anything. And in truth, that's really what's happening with the energy of the open root. And it's all a matter of how are you going to work with it? You know, are you going to allow yourself to enjoy it to a point, like you said, Peter, because of course you don't want it ruling your life, because then you're living your life out of conditioning, not out of design. But are you going to enjoy it, or are you going to avoid it? And many people will spend a great deal of their lives avoiding that adrenalized rush, trying to avoid that rush of energy. And it truly is a choice. And depending on which choice you have, probably the key thing, I don't think it really matters which choice you make, as long as you're aware of what it means to have the open root. And by that, I mean, you know, the key for that is recognizing what is yours. What is yours and what isn't? What are you taking in and what are you, what are you taking in and amplifying versus what are you allowing to be through your own natural rhythms, your own natural design? And really, when you get to that point where you can make that distinction, that's where you've developed the wisdom. That's where you've gotten to the point where you can say, you know what, the pressure to get this list done before I leave the office today is really coming from my boss, not from me. I don't need to get it all done. It'll still be there in the morning, and I can start it again in, you know, at that time. It's not something that should take priority over my kid's soccer game or making dinner for my family or, you know, any other thing like that. The true wisdom building up, the true wisdom that builds from an open root is really knowing what needs to be done versus what feels like it needs to be done. I don't know if I'm making any sense with that or not, Peter.
Yeah,
the words come out the way I want them to.
Absolutely makes sense to me, and that's a good way to put it. What you feel like you need to have done versus what really needs to be done. That's a good strategy-wise. That's a good question. You know, it's 5 o'clock. It's time to go home, and you feel like you haven't done enough. Does it really need to be done? Because, you know, in our workplaces, corporate structure does not reward the open root. Well, like, I guess it does, but it will often reward the open root with more work. The boss gives you 3 days to get something done, and you do it in a day because of that pressure. The boss will typically not say, "We'll take a couple of days off." They'll say, "Great job, pat on the back. Well, then you can do this too."
Here's your next assignment.
Here's your next assignment. You know, and you missed your kid's soccer game because you stayed late, because you felt like, you know, you were going to be free if you got that done. And so the awareness is so critical.
Yeah.
And the other aspect of that, the other effect of stress that I think is a huge one, is that open root or defined root, but it probably affects the open root more, is that we go home from work or, you know, even at home, we have our lists of things to do. We give ourselves permission. We go out to dinner. We go to a movie. We go to our children's soccer game. And what are we doing there? We're sitting there thinking about, okay, what am I going to do when I get home? And what, you know, what's the next thing I need to do? Again, awareness. It's okay me to be at the soccer game or the movie or dinner and not think about the list, not think about the project I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
Because what that's doing, when you're thinking about that list, guess what's getting dumped into your body? Adrenaline. The pressure is, you know, I visualize it as the pressure is just squeezing adrenaline out into your body. And what happens? Ultimately, if you aren't aware, if you don't use techniques like having a mantra, I'm giving myself permission to not think about the list at, you know, at dinner. I'm giving my self permission to do to go to the kids' soccer game, or meditation to let things go. You know, whatever tool that you find that gives your body permission or gives your mind permission to let the pressure off the root. If you don't find something like that, then a lot of people end up with adrenal fatigue because that constant stress, that constant pressure is squeezing the adrenaline so that the system can't create anymore. You know, or it's just getting by. You know, that adrenaline is useful. It's like when you have a big challenge, you need that boost to have the physical energy. But you don't need to be sort of dripping it slowly into your system all the time, especially if it's, you know, 11 o'clock at night and you're lying in bed and you're thinking about all the things you have to do tomorrow. Guess what you're doing? You're not helping yourself sleep. You're
Yep.
dumping adrenaline into your body. And I don't want to be negative here. What I'm trying to do is to point out the sort, really, the conditioning of our society.
Yeah.
And
yeah, Peter, may jump in.
Absolutely.
What you're really telling people about is all the innocent ways in which this energy can permeate our systems, you know, all the innocent ways in which the open root can really have an impact on our lives and our bodies without us even being aware of it, without us even thinking about it. And I think it's important for people to understand all that. But like you said, let's not paint the bleak picture here. Let's look at, okay, so what can you do? What can you do when you go home and you're still feeling that pressure of the things left undone in the office kind of thing? And I'd like to offer up that probably the single most beneficial thing that I've learned to do for myself, and of course everyone's different, but I offer this out there, offer this up for anyone who wants to try it. It's amazing how much more relaxed you are when you just stop long enough to take 3 deep breaths in through your nose and then gently and relaxed, in a relaxed manner, just let it out. Don't force it out. Just breathe deeply in through your nose and then just naturally let it out through your mouth. 3 deep breaths is all it takes to bring you back to a focused and centered type of energy. And like I said, I've found that works for me. Peter, there may be something else different that you use.
No, that's a good one, Rick. And I'd say that I've encountered a fair number of people that I talk to about doing meditation. And I think there's a lot of stigmas around meditation. And some people take to it very well, and some people say, well, I can't stop thinking about things. And, you know, what I say to them is, that's okay. And one of the things you can do in meditation is if you have a thought pop up, sort of follow it and let it go. Because what you're doing is you're training your body. You're building positive conditioning here that you can use very, very much applies to the open root. You have a thought pop up, I really got to get this done. If you can tap into your awareness and say, well, I don't have to do it now, then you let it go. And it'll come back. If it's an important thing, it's going to come back up. But what you're doing is, if you can build that mindset, if you can build that awareness, and you can build that mantra, every time you let go, every time a thought pops up that I've got to do this, and it's not really important that you do it now, and so if you can let it go when it pops up, you're stopping that process of dumping more adrenaline into your body. You're reducing that feeling of pressure. And you're allowing yourself to really live more from your design as opposed to the societal and lifestyle conditioning that we most are enraptured in.
Yep. And I also want to let people know, Peter, that open roots, yes, we are designed to take in and amplify the energy of those around us, but it is possible to release the majority of that energy just by not being around those people. And I don't want to say that, you know, you need to live your life as a hermit, but I don't want people thinking that, oh my gosh, all 24 hours a day I'm going to be inundated with all this energy. That's not necessarily true, because once you get home, if you sleep alone, then, you know, you're not going to be impacted so much by that kind of energy. Understanding your design means that you know what to do to release the impact from your environment. And basically that means give yourself at least an hour, maybe an hour and a half, of alone time to release the energy that's flowing into your open centers, so that you can actually, be more in touch with your own energy. And Peter, when you were talking about the meditation and the techniques and all that, something else came to mind that I'd like to share. You mentioned you're a generator. You have that sacral motor, but you're also defined in your root center. So you have both a sacral motor and a root motor. And one of the distinctions that I like to make with people is, we talk about the sacral motor being that powerhouse for work and for life, generating life, if you will. And then we talk about the root center being, all about life as well. The distinction I want to make, though, is that the root center is really all about the living of life. Not the creating of life, but the living of life. It's all about getting out there and enjoying life. There's a reason for having that adrenaline build up, and it's all about enjoyment. There's a reason for letting go of that adrenaline, and it's all about being done with the experience and knowing that you're done with it, so that you can, go back and do it again if you want, or move on to the next experience. But as you said earlier, Peter, it's a balance between having the adrenaline build up and releasing the adrenaline, because we're not designed to have it pumped into our systems 24/7. And I think it's what came to mind when you were talking about the meditations and everything was more about being in the moment. And the root is all about enjoying life, but you can't enjoy it if you're always thinking about something else. If your thoughts are in the future or in the past, then you're not enjoying the present. And so part of the wisdom of the open root is to know when to let go of things enough to be present in the moment and enjoy what's happening in your life right then and there.
And Reverend Rick, that's a great point, because a lot of what drives us, this pressure on the root, the list that we create, are future things. It's like, I have to have this done by, whatever time. And part of that is in the moment. If that's what we're meant to do, then we are doing that in the moment, But don't let that become all you do, is living for the future, because there's a real beauty of living in the moment. Another thing that you said that I wanted to bring something up, because I think we probably have a lot of parents out there, is you're talking about the open centers and how they basically get jacked up by the energy that's around them. And probably the two biggest centers that happens to is the open root and the open sacral. And either one of them, or both, if you have a child and they're, they kind of go crazy in group settings, whether it's a, family setting or at school, part of that may be, if they have an open root or an open sacral or both, is that they're having trouble funneling and channeling that energy, that they're basically overstimulated. And I think some of the kids that we have in the school system that, teachers are off the wall and they want to put on medication, it's because they've got more energy than they know how to channel. And one perfect diffusement of that is the timeout. Now, ideally, it's not a timeout within that room, which is probably how most classrooms deal with it, because they're still within range of all that root and sacral energy. A great thing for these kids when they get wound up off the wall is to take them outside, because then what starts to happen is when they're outside, one, they have space that they can, let this energy unwind, and this is why recess is so important to children. But two, it potentially gives them the distance away from other defined roots and other defined sacrals so that energy can unwind.
And Peter has an go ahead.
I just wanted to finish that thought and say, and so another thing is when you have children and you're putting them to bed, if they have an open root or open sacral, don't expect them to climb into bed and fall right asleep, because odds are they've got either sacral or root or both energies that they're going to need some quiet time to let unwind before they're really going to settle down and sleep.
Absolutely. And Peter, as a real-life example of what you just said, many of our listeners know I used to be a high school teacher. I taught high school mathematics. And I had a student in one of my afternoon classes who had been diagnosed attention deficit with hyperactivity disorder. And they had him on Ritalin. And his mother was an English teacher who happened to teach right across the hall from me. So that morning she came to me and said, I just want you to know my son refused to take his pill this morning. And so, you know, he may be bouncing off the walls by the time he gets to you. If there's any problems, just come get me. And I just looked at her and I said, well, do you trust me, you know, to deal with this? And she says, well, yeah, sure. You know, we've been teaching together for a while now. And she said, yeah, of course I trust you. I said, okay, then let me handle it my way, and we can touch base later on after school. Sure enough, the kid got to class, and he was bouncing off the walls, and within the first minute and a half, he was so disruptive. Class hadn't even started yet, but he was already starting to annoy some of the other students. So I just calmly walked over to him, gave him my hall pass, and fortunately I was in a corner of the school building close to an exit door, so I told him, look, take my hall pass. If anyone says anything, tell them you're on an errand for me. I want you to go outside and run around the school building. And he just kind of looked at me, and I said, it's okay, trust me. It'll be all right. So he did that. He went outside. He ran around the school building, came back in. For the rest of class, he was able to sit there and totally focus on what we were doing in class without having to fidget, without having to do anything. What I basically did was I gave him the opportunity to release all that pent-up energy. Now, of course, this was years ago before I knew anything about human design, but the concept and the process is still appropriate. You know, I'm absolutely certain this child had an open root center and was just taking in and amplifying all that adrenalized energy from after lunch from all the other students around him. And when he had an opportunity to release that energy, it basically drained all that stress and pressure and adrenaline pumping through his body to where he was now in a receptive state for learning. So I think, Peter, what you were getting at with the stories was, you know, human design is a tool that I think the more it gets out there, the more we'll begin to look at our lives, our conditioning, our medicinal practices in very new ways that are actually going to be much more healthy for people than what we currently practice. In time.
And, you know, wouldn't that be so cool that if our school systems knew, you know, basically they had a list of kids that design-wise needed to run around the school building, you know, between each class or, you know, between every two classes or something like that. And that was part of the web of the school experience. You know, it could certainly be, you know, it could be certainly enhanced to be fun. You know, I imagine that's probably fun for a lot of kids anyway, but, you know, you can make a game out of it or something. But it essentially would be dealing with their designs in a constructive way.
Yeah, maybe it's time we brought back recess.
Yeah, some of those schools have gotten away from
in high school level.
Yeah, you know, that is a good point. You know, it doesn't, if you have that design, it doesn't go away in high school.
Nope.
Maybe we're more conditioned.
In fact, I knew some teachers who could have used recess during school.
Probably open roots or open sacrals or both.
Yep.
So, Reverend Rick, to shift gears a little bit here, we do have a chart out on my blog post. Again, to direct people there, it's loveyourhumandesign.com. And once you go there, on the right-hand side, about a third of the way down, there's Peter's blog. Click on that. And then when you get there, click on the Open Root post on the snowflake there. And scroll down in the article. We have a chart for Aurora. And I do have somebody out on the line, so I'm going to see if Aurora is on the line with us. Aurora, is that you? Area code 204? I guess not. Well, anyway, let's take a look at Aurora's chart.
Alrighty.
And what I want to do here is basically take a look at the chart. You know, here is an example of an open root. And Ricardo, you were talking about how the rest of the design is going to potentially affect this open root. So if you want to take a start at that, and then I'll add my thoughts.
Sure. And actually, this is a great example of what I was talking about earlier in terms of gates being active on the root and gates pointing to the root. From the chart, we can see that all three gates on the left side of the open root are active. Well, some people would say they're dormant and just waiting for the energy to flow into the root before it gets expressed. But they've been activated in the chart. I think that's probably a better way of phrasing it. And those are gates 58, 38, and 54. On the right-hand side of the root, the top two gates, 19 and 39, they're both open. Neither of those gates has been activated, but at the other end of both of those gates are the solar plexus gates pointing towards them, the 49 and the 55. So in this chart, the first two bottom gates off the solar plexus are active and pointing towards the root, and that's actually putting some pressure on the energy from the root as well. You know, so when that root takes in and amplifies the energy around it, that 19 and 39 are gonna feel a lot of pressure on them as well. But as far as the actual design itself goes, gates 58, 38, and 54 are the gates that are going to have the expression coming through. And if we start at the bottom and work our way up, gate 58, this is known as the gate of joy. You know, this is the gate of aliveness. This is, remember I was talking about the root is all about enjoying life, the living of life, being present in the moment to enjoy that moment, moment to moment. And so this is the gate of aliveness, the gate of wanting to live that life. But it's also the pressure to make things better. It's the pressure to correct things. It's the pressure to improve on, shall we say. Moving up to gate 38, this is the gate of the fighter. And the fighter here, this is all about struggling with being alive, finding a purpose to that life. Knowing that you know life has a meaning, and so this is the beginning of that pressure to struggle to know the purpose of life. And gate 54 is the gate of ambition, and this is the pressure to transform your life. This is the adrenalized ability to move through your positions in life, move through your job, move up the corporate ladder, if you will. It's the desire and the pressure to achieve. And I'll go ahead and stop there, Peter, and say, okay, what would you like to add to that?
Well, I would just add that. So let me just summarize that then. So when Aurora gets under pressure, her energy, the three most likely expressions of the energy by her design is going to be through the 58, looking for something joyful. It's like, okay, I've got this energy to do something. How can I do it with joy? Or the middle gate, the 38, I got this energy. How can I use it to fight through something that I've been struggling with, or maybe somebody else around me has been struggling with? And lastly, the top gate, I've got this energy, you know, I'm under pressure to get this done. How can I do it so I can move up? How can I raise myself a notch? You know, and again, that could be corporate-wise, moving up the ladder. That could be with peers, that it's going to maybe make me appear better or make me appear more reliable, that kind of thing. Does that sound right to you, Rick?
Yep, absolutely. And just to, if Aurora's out there and listening, just to even take it a little bit further, depending on the line activations on each of those gates, you can further break down a more detailed understanding of what those pressures are gonna manifest as. You know, in terms of whether they're foundational, whether they're experimental, whether they, you know, provide for the guiding of others, you know, that kind of thing. So the amount of information that you can glean from a person's chart is absolutely amazing, and I can't stress enough how important it is to really, truly take time. You and I, Peter, we always offer free charts to people, and we offer, you know, our reports and our readings. But I do want to mention, I think in order to really fully understand one's own chart, it takes time of looking at it and going back and discussing the different aspects of it. And the reason I say that is I had an aha moment last night. I was looking at my own chart. And I've been familiar with my chart now for a little over, 3 years now, right, Peter?
Yes.
And I was looking at my own chart and realized, wow, I never saw that before. You know, I never realized that before. It was just something new that struck me. And I realized, you know, we really do have to keep coming back to our own charts to really fully integrate what's in it. And I think we never really talk much about that, but I think my realization last night makes me want to share that with everyone, saying, you know, if you've had a reading, it's probably not a bad idea to go back and revisit it and revisit it in such a way that you're asking questions about yourself. You know, what kinds of things do you want to know about yourself that your chart can help you identify? Whether it's specifically on, I have an open G center, what does that really mean for me? You know, but start delving more deeply into the messages of your design so that you can more fully live who you are and really ultimately enjoy the life that you're meant to live. And I got to admit, for having an open root, I truly enjoy the open root energy. I absolutely, truly enjoy what it does for me in terms of allowing me to be present in the energy of life. You know, yes, I feel the pressure to get things done. I feel the stress of the never-ending to-do list. I get one thing done and five things have been added. But at the same time, when I allow myself, notice how I said that, when I allow myself to be present in the moment, you know, I truly enjoy that moment. I truly enjoy what life has brought me at that particular point. And that's really what it's all about. That's really, I think, the wisdom behind the open root is to truly do that and be an example to others. You know, so that whether they have an open root or a defined root doesn't matter. They can see that, and they can use that as encouragement for themselves, I think. Sorry, Peter, didn't mean to get on a soapbox there.
That's all right. That was so well said, Reverend Rick. And, you know, and it's so true that, you know, I, like Rick, am 3 to 4 years, or probably about 4 years into human design and into my design. And, you know, it is a tool that you can keep going back to when you have situations where it might be a relationship thing and you don't understand why something happened or why you acted or reacted the way you did, or you have something that you expected was going to go through and it didn't work so well or it failed miserably. And human design is a tool that will keep on giving you insight into those kind of situations, and you can go back and help yourself to figure out why something worked well or why something didn't work so well. And it's, you know, really when I think about explaining human design to people, part of it is really figuring out the odds. We live in a world of free choice, that we're free to choose the things that we want to try and do and people we want to meet and talk to. But the things that are supported by our design, and if we live the strategies, you know, like your type and strategy, and live the energies that we have, they're going to be more successful. They're going to be a better experience. There's going to be less resistance if we do that. We can choose to do the other, and some of us may be here to experience that. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that at all. But for me, you know, as I've become more and more aware of human design, I came in with this design, so I really want to try it out the way it was designed to be. And I'm finding that that's a more enhanced experience for me.
Yep.
Reverend Rick, I do want to make a quick point. I mentioned earlier in the show that the defined root is going to have a more consistent experience with this adrenaline energy or channeling this adrenaline energy than the open root. Uh-huh. But there was a caveat with that. And Rick, you've explained that the root is a motor, and the root is known as a pulse motor, and that either means that the pulse is on or the pulse is off for the root center. And so ultimately what that means is for people with a defined root, if your pulse is off, then you're going to be behaving similar to somebody with an open root. It's like your adrenaline system is taking a time out. It's probably, I don't know the biochemistry of it, but it's probably it's recharging the system. It's building the components that allow the system to release adrenaline. And it'll probably allow your body to recharge as well. And so the strategy is very simple for that. Honor your root, whether it's open or defined. And if your root is off, then the strategy is to honor that. Do something more passive. You might not have enough energy to cut firewood, but you may have enough energy to read a book. Or you might not have enough energy to run a mile, but you might have enough energy to walk around the block.
Yep.
And so go for, you know, this is very physical here, so go for the more passive stuff when you feel that, when you're in tune, when you're aware that your root is off. Because what you'll find is if you allow your root to rest when it needs to rest, it will be twice or more productive when you come back to that list and what you've got to get done. And so that's my little soapbox, Rick.
And I would agree wholeheartedly with that. Because a part of honoring our design and honoring our strategies and authorities and all of that means understanding what our design is like. And that's one of those key elements, one of those finer points that many times in an overview reading, it gets overlooked. So thank you for bringing that up and helping people understand that even with a defined route, you're not always going to be running on full steam.
Absolutely. So, Rick, let's take one more look at Aurora's chart. And so you mentioned those gates that are pointed down up towards the solar plexus. So could you explain when Aurora's under pressure to get something done, how will those two, the 49 and the 55, what will she be looking for? If she takes that route of expression, what's that doing to her design?
Well, since those two gates are actually defined in her chart, and they are attached to a defined solar plexus that has consistent, reliable energy flowing through it, she's going to have a regular and consistent type of energy flowing through those gates. The 49 being, revolution and principles, adhering to principles, and the 55, of course, being the gate of the spirit, a person's emotional spirit. But when that root energy comes into play, there's a pressure, an added pressure on the connecting gates that are on the root, the 19 and the 39. And when that happens, 19, it's known as the gate of wanting. And when it connects with 49, it creates a channel that we call the channel of synthesis, and it's a very sensitive type of energy. And so this 19, the pressure, I guess, that comes off of that gate becomes a pressure of needing to be needed. It's a pressure to be needed, not just of wanting to have your needs met, but wanting to be needed. And there, therefore it can actually be, it can lead to oversensitivity. And if certain, like you said, the root is a very physical energy. If there's certain physical needs that aren't being met, it could lead to an overreaction or an oversensitivity about that. And of course, being connected or being pointed towards the solar plexus, which carries all of our emotions, that's going to be a very emotional oversensitivity. Meanwhile, gate 39 is the gate of the provocateur. This is the one that normally pushes buttons to try to help someone find the right spirit. Well, on an open route, with the 55 pointing down towards it, that becomes a very strong pressure to find the passion, to find the spirit of one's life. Mirroring the 38 on the opposite side, the 38 we said was the struggle for finding purpose in life. This is now the struggle to find the spirit of life, the movement. What is it that brings passion to life? Remember, it's still connected to the solar plexus. It's still an emotionalized energy, so it's not just joy now. It's actual passion. What is the passion of life? And there's a pressure to find that. And it's a very moody energy, so this could translate into not just trying to find the passion in one's life. It could be a very moody and could even condition one into feeling less than what they are, or even depressed because they don't know, or they feel like they can't find that passion. When in reality, all it is a passing condition. The open centers, remember, are the places where we get conditioned. So it's not a matter, we may feel the pressure to find that passion and the pressure to be needed and all that, but ultimately it's a passing condition. It's not something that we need to respond to or react to. It's just something that comes up to bring our attention to it and allow us to experience it as something to be aware of so that we can build our base of wisdom, not something that we have to be pressured to react to. And again, that goes back to understanding what is yours versus what are you taking in from your surroundings. Anything I missed in there, Peter?
Nothing you missed. I would just add that I love the name of this gate, the provocateur. And, so one potential way that it would deal with that pressure is to provoke someone. You know,
yep.
Come out as a jab of some sort, verbal or physical. and I have that gate, so I'm quite
yeah,
sure.
I do too.
I try to when I'm writing my emails for the show, I try to make sure I keep it in check that because it's looking to provoke people into the love of spirit, not push them away. And
you know what, Peter? I'm going to add something else to that, and I'm going to say that gate is part of what we call the knowing circuit. It's a group of channels that have been put together because they carry the same kind of theme, if you will, and that theme is knowing. The knowing circuit is all about having those aha moments where you get your clarity. You suddenly realize something. You suddenly know something. Even if no one else around you knows it, you do. And gate 39 is one of the gates in that knowing circuit. But ultimately, the knowing circuit is an individual circuit. So this energy is really an individual energy. It's there for us to know our own individual spirit. And yet what ends up happening is, invariably, those of us with it, we end up pushing the buttons on other people more so than we do ourselves. But I think that's one of those gates also that, you know, one of the finer details is, if you've got this gate, then one of the ways in which you should look at using it is helping to provoke your own spirit, helping to reach your own knowingness about your own passions. Yes, you can definitely use it to help other people find theirs, but don't leave yourself out. You know, this is, after all, your design, right?
Absolutely. And an interesting point I'd add to that is, because it's individual, individual energy doesn't care. And so, for example, Rick, I provoke you. I don't really care what your reaction is to that. I'm not waiting, you know, my provocation is not waiting to hear back or watch what happens to you, because in that individual energy, now it's up to you to find your spirit. I've given you the little poke, but I've done my job, and now it's on to you, because it's individual energy.
Yep.
And you know, this is just another area in human design where it's not personal. The only personal part about it is I'm trying to help you find spirit, but I can't find spirit for you.
Exactly.
And I can give you the little jab, but you got to take it from there. And if you take it personally, like, you know, Peter's being mean to me, that's how you take it.
Peter's being a bully.
And you'll hear Reverend Rick and I say, it's not personal.
Exactly.
You know, I just did Rick a favor, or Rick just did me a favor by giving me a little poke, by trying to wake me up. And if you take it in that line, life is just so much more beautiful.
And I can look back on many, many different speaking engagements that I've had, both when I was teaching and after, where no matter what I'm doing, if I have to speak in front of an audience, invariably, without even thinking about it, I always have these little buttons that I put in there that are buttons that generally cause people to stop and think and say, I never thought of it that way. And that's my way of provoking others, because I provoke them into really considering alternatives.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's probably a key element why Reverend Rick and I are here every week to talk to you about human design because we're trying to provoke you into your own awakening.
Yep, absolutely.
There's a question out on the chat room about freezing up, and I think it's a great question. And so, Reverend Rick, I'm going to put this to you. It's about freezing up when there's too much to do. And I want to tie that in as well to, I often get this question from people that I'm doing readings for that have an open root. If I work alone and I'm really spinning my wheels, struggling to get going, what's the strategy for that? So I'll put both of those to you.
Okay. When you're alone and can't find the motivation that you need to get going, as well as when you have an open root and you freeze, the freezing is with the open root?
Yeah, you're feeling overwhelmed. You know, you've got 1,000 things to do.
That whole never-ending to-do list kind of thing, like you said, that's just words on a piece of paper or on a computer screen or wherever. But ultimately what it represents is an energetic pressure to get things done. And one of the reactions, because remember, human design is a biverse. You know, human design is a duality. There's you know, multiple sides here. And just like we talked about the person on stage getting stage fright, when there's too much pressure, when there's too much on the to-do list, when there's too much energy coming in, that can actually overwhelm. And in that case, it can lead to freezing up. It can lead to indecision. There have actually been studies done, and of course this is now getting into populations that are trying to make decisions with their head, and we know better than that. But there have been studies made where when people have too many choices, they can't decide. People can make very very quick choices, regardless of whether they use their decision-making authority or not. People can make choices when they have fewer options to choose from much more easily than when they have too many. And the same kind of thing happens when you have way too much on your to-do list. You have that pressure and stress and root energy building up in this open root and being amplified to the point where it becomes overwhelming, and so nothing can get done. You don't know where to start, and so you don't start. That's one potential, one possibility. How do you deal with that? Well, and Peter, I'm going to take this as an opportunity to answer the other half of that too. When you're by yourself and you've got no other impacts or influences or anything like that on you, and you're finding a lack of motivation for getting things started, take advantage of the open root energy, knowing that it's an adrenalized energy. It's a physical movement type of energy in the body, and go for a walk. Get up, move away. Move away from what it is you're working on. If it's a snowstorm outside or you know, a hurricane blowing, or you know, you can't go out for a walk or something, go up and down the stairs or walk around the house or just walk away from what it is that you're trying to work on and give yourself a moment to breathe. Remember, root energy is about enjoying life, and what can be more joyful about life than breathing? So give yourself that opportunity to just breathe. Take those 3 deep breaths and release them naturally. And then go back. And I think you'll find that when you go back to the tasks at hand, they'll be a little easier to handle. They'll be a little easier to organize. They'll be a little easier to focus on, if you will. And then, you know, the blockages that you may have had before won't feel so insurmountable. Instead of being a big boulder in the road, it may end up being a little pebble. Anything you want to add to that, Peter?
Just break it down in terms of, if you're overwhelmed by too much, pick the what's the the one thing I need to do now? Get back in the moment, essentially, having too much into the future. But thank you for joining us today. This is Peter Rowe for Love Your Human Design and Reverend Rick for RevRick.webs.com. Have a great week.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.